Alhamdulillah.
Respected brothers, inshallah, just come close. Take benefit, inshallah. Come close. Watch those who are reading their salah. If anyone is reading their salah, let's not, let's be mindful of that. Come close, inshallah. Those brothers who are outside, inshallah, we can talk later, we can talk for long later, inshallah. Come inside. Come close. Let's fill up all the gaps, inshallah. Come close, inshallah. Fill up all the gaps. Show our desire to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in need of the of this, inshallah. To listen to the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are in need of it. So we must come close, inshallah. Closer we come, more benefit we'll take, inshallah. Come on this side over here. Some brothers can come on this left hand side. Fill up on this side also. Come close, inshallah. Come. MashaAllah. I accept. Come. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. This is from the stories of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, about the valor and heroism of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Hadrat Wahab bin Qabus radiallahu anhu gets martyred. Wahab bin Qabus radiallahu anhu was a shepherd and had been a Muslim for some time. He lived in his village in the desert. He came to Medina to see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was accompanied by his nephew and his herd of goats, which he had tied with a rope. He learned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in Uhud. He left his goats and went to Uhud to fight by the side of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A group of the enemy was at that time advancing to attack the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam announced, "The person who disperses these people will be my companions in Jannah." Hazrat Wahab radiallahu anhu attacked them fiercely and repulsed all of them. A second and third group of the enemy tried to advance, and each time it was Hazrat Wahab radiallahu anhu who fought them and put them to flight single-handed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him good tidings of Jannah. No sooner did he hear this than he jumped into the enemy lines and fought till he was no more. Hazrat Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu says, "I have never seen a person fighting so bravely and fearlessly as Wahab did. I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam standing beside his dead body saying, 'O Wahab, you have pleased me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with you.' Although the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself was wounded in this battle, yet he buried Wahab radiallahu anhu's body with his own hands. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, 'I never envied anybody more than Wahab radiallahu anhu. I wish I could appear before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a record as good as his.' What is it in the life of Hazrat Wahab radiallahu anhu that makes an illustrious and exalted person like Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu to envy him? It is the same spirit of sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu and other Sahaba radiallahu anhum have better deeds." Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hazrat Umair radiallahu anhu goes to battle. Hazrat Umair radiallahu anhu was a slave of Abil Laham radiallahu anhu and of a very tender age. He was very young. Every soul in those days, irrespective of age, was eager to strive in the path of Allah. Umair radiallahu anhu requested the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to permit him to fight in the battle of Khaybar. His master also recommended him very strongly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam permitted him and gave him a sword, which Umair radiallahu anhu hung around his neck. Now, the sword was too big for him. The sword was too big for his size. and he had to drag it with him. He fought in the battle till it ended in victory. As he was a minor and a slave, he was not entitled to full share in the booty. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, however, allotted him a share as a very special case. Although Umayr radiallahu anhu knew that he was not going to get any share from the spoils of war, yet he was so eager to fight in the battle and sought recommendations for it. What could be his motive other than the reward of the hereafter, as promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reported by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us also that courage and that desire also to sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give some of our time and sacrifice what Allah has given us for His deen, inshallah. Inshallah, so program will take place now, inshallah. Muna Imran sahab, inshallah, will come to the front. We request that all our saathis, all the brothers here, come close, inshallah. As we said, as mentioned earlier, we are in need of this. So let us come close, inshallah, and take benefit, inshallah. Sit with desire and sit with the adab and desire, inshallah. We'll take great benefit, inshallah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My respected elders and friends, and especially my very beautiful young brothers of the Palok area. Palok holds a very special place in my heart. This is my hometown. I grew up in this very same town. And every single time I come back to my hometown and I drive in the streets of this area, then I get all the flashbacks and all the memories of the days when I was your age. I was 13, 14, 15, 20 years old, living in this very same area. All the flashbacks come, all the memories come back. And then I think to myself, the way has time gone? Just like that, in a flash of an eye, I was 15, 16, 17, and now decades have gone, and now we have grown older. And many of these elderly people we see sitting around here, when I was young, then perhaps they were what age I am now. And now they have gone ahead in life, and I've come to the position that they were in. And you are in a position which I was in a few years ago, a few decades ago. And like that, a day will come when I will also grow old, and you will come to the age that I am now. This is what we call the cycle of life. This is what we call the journey of life. And just like in this world, if we have a family, a few cars of family that are traveling to Johannesburg for a wedding, for some function, then perhaps we may have a carload of family members who left an hour or two earlier. So they have gone ahead of their journey. They have gone ahead in their journey. Perhaps they are nearing in on Moy River, or perhaps somewhere further, escort or something like that. So what normally happens is, they'll go ahead and they'll make a phone call to that car load of family members who are still leaving Durban, still about to jump in the car and leave, and they'll tell them about all the thrills and spills that they saw along the way. You know, when you're coming up to Maritzburg, the construction is very heavy, they take it easy, keep your speed low. Sometimes may have to tell you, we're passing by the Midmar area, look to the left, you'll see the dam gates are open, the dam wall is open. What a beautiful sight is, you see the water gushing through there. And perhaps she'll tell you, we go ahead there, you know, the Waze or the Google Maps told me, take an off route, take an alternate route via Colenso because there's a crash ahead and I made a mistake, I didn't listen to the navigation system, I went along and I got stuck in this traffic and I was delayed by a further half an hour or so. Like that, my dear brothers, in this journey of life, we have some people that have already reached the end of the journey. They have passed away. They have gone onto the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have other people that are very far ahead in the journey. Somewhere, some people are in the middle of the journey. And then you have you young, beautiful souls who are somewhere at the beginning of the journey. And like how the person, the car that's gone ahead, when he phones back to the family members leaving later, he is not there to tell them, to scold them, or to instruct them, or tell them what's right and what's wrong, but he merely advises them. Why? I went down that road. I traveled down there, I know what's good, I know the mistakes, I know where's the traps, where the police are trapping, I know where the oil spill is the rest of it. Likewise, my dear brothers, when our seniors, our parents, our ustads, our ulama, when they sit on this chair, when at home they give us advice, they're not giving us advice to run us down, to belittle us, to make us feel bad. But why? But they have traveled down this road. And when they travel down this road, they saw what the mistakes they made, and they do not want you to make the very same mistake. That is why they advise us not to belittle us, but rather to make sure we do not make the same mistakes in the journey of life that they have made. So today when I sit here, my young friends, I do not want to tell you anything that will hurt you or run you down. But rather, my dear brothers, I'm here to give you a very short, and I've been given time to speak for, inshallah, I will try to stick to my time, a very short message, inshallah. I just beg of you for a few moments, inshallah. It won't be a long talk, inshallah, for a few moments, just to lend me your ears and try to understand what I'm saying. And if it makes sense to you, inshallah, then try to act upon it, inshallah. So my young friends, we look around us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this big wide world. We have the moon, we have the sun. Every morning the sun rises at a certain time, it sets at a certain time. We have the moon at the beginning of the month. The moon is small, and as the month goes along, gets bigger and bigger and bigger until we come to the half of the month. And then the moon gets smaller and smaller and smaller until it disappears at the end of the month. And we have the trees, we have the oceans, we have the continents, we have the countries. We have people of different complexion, people speaking different languages. One person speaks English, another person speaks Arabic, another person speaks Zulu or Chichewa or some other language. All of this is happening around. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took you, a young and tender soul, and put you in the middle of all of this. The systems of the world, the moon and the sun and everything else in this world, Allah put you in here. Did any day the thought cross your mind that what is all of this about? Why am I here? What is the purpose? Why did Allah ta'ala put me into this world? Surely there has to be some reason. There has to be some purpose. I mean, or many of you here will be in school. This whole thing of school, waking up early in the morning, getting ready for school, going through the traffic, going to school, and then the different periods you have in school, the uniform, the school fees, the teachers, the school building, and all of this. This is done not because, you know, the father says, my child has nothing to do at home, he's so bored, so let me pay, you know, private school fees, 70,000, 80,000, and put him into school. He has nothing else to do. Let him do it. No, this is for a purpose. My son, he needs to have an education. He needs to have an education so that he can have a degree, and so that he can go out there and he can earn a living, a halal living, to provide for him, and when he one day gets married, for his family. Likewise, a person who sitting at home, he's bored, he has some money, he has nothing to do, so let me just to pass some time, let me open up on shop. So he buys one big shop fittings, he puts in the stock, the rest of it, hires some people, buys some tools, gets some people to work for him, trains them and everything. I got nothing better to do, so let me just pass the day in town or in some shopping mall. No, he does it for a purpose. All of this, the shop fittings and hiring people and putting stock in the shop, the advertising, is for a reason. He is there to make money. He has an objective, he is there to make money. Likewise, my dear brothers, this entire system of the world Allah has created, the moon and the stars and the sun and everything else Allah has created and put us in all of this here. What is the purpose? What is the reason? Surely there must be some purpose. Surely there must be some reason why Allah has put you and I into this world. And Allah Ta'ala is so kind. Allah Ta'ala told us in the Quran Sharif that what is the reason for you and I to be in this world, amongst all the systems, everything around us. Why? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, I created you, O mankind, I've created a jinn kind for one purpose. The purpose of your existence, the reason why you are here amidst all the systems and all the things happening in the world, is one purpose. And that is for you to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For you to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like how in school, my dear, we were talking about school. Sometimes you may have that young person in school, that young student in school, who may not realize the purpose of being in school. The purpose of being in school. So he may, what we will say, he'll create in school. No, not worry, disrespect the teachers, create in school, be a delinquent in school. And then what will happen? Perhaps he'll fail his exam, maybe he will drop out from school and he won't become anything. And then you will have another person, another young person in school, who will realize why he's in school, the purpose of being in school. He'll realize the purpose of being in school, and he will study hard, and he will work hard, and he will excel at school, he will excel in his exams, and he'll go on to do great things. Likewise, my dear, but in this life, You'll be those people who will fail to realize why they are in this world. They will not realize the purpose of being in this world. And then when a young person does not realize the purpose of being in this world, then all the unnecessary things become important to him now. So then Instagram, and how many likes his post on Instagram got, or how many followers he has on Instagram, and to do the latest TikTok trend, or the Snapchat streak, and all these other things, hours and hours spending the entire night from 10 at night to 4 in the morning on YouTube, all these things now become important to him. Unimportant things will become important to him. Why? He has not realized the objective of his life. That's what Allah Ta'ala in the Quran Sharif says, we have disbelievers. Allah says, disbelievers, what are they? Ulaika kal an'am. Allah Ta'ala says, they're like cattle. I never heard up to this day a person say, you know, this cow is going to go far in life. Cows have no objective in life. The person, the cow, in the morning is taken out to the meadow to go and feed. Whole day it only eats there, and it drops its dung here the entire day, and at night again brought back to the pen or the shed or the wherever, the barn, wherever it's kept. In the morning the same thing all over again. No purpose in life, until eventually that cow may get mad cow disease and it will pass away, or it will end up in the abattoir and a nice piece of Texan steak or something on the plate of somebody. No objective to life, no purpose to life. Allah Ta'ala says the disbelievers, those who have not realized what is the purpose of me being in this world. Why am I in this world? Allah Ta'ala says they are like animals, they are like cattle, no objective in life. So this believer has no focus in life, no aim in life, no goal in life. He wakes up in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, goes to work, 8 to 5 at work, 5 o'clock he comes home, from 5 o'clock till midnight he sits watching TV, and then he goes to sleep again, next morning wake up, repeat the entire thing, entire week like get there, Saturday comes, he goes out and he parties, he drinks, he becomes drunk, Sunday morning he comes, wake up with a hangover, head is paining, stomach is paining, vomiting, Monday morning repeat the entire cycle, no objective, no purpose whatsoever. And when the person does not have an objective and a purpose, then we start doing all the, you know, the nonsensical things, all the rubbish things, all the stupid things. So then we start with all the alphabets, be it WWE or LGB or UFC or all these other things. All the unnecessary things become important to the person. Now, what power slap? Where two people, think about two people standing there and slapping the daylights out of each other. How useless! What a waste of time! What a waste of resources! What a waste of energy! But why? Because they have no objective in life, no purpose in life. They have not realized why am I in this world. But my dear brothers, when a person realizes that what is the purpose of this life, why has Allah put me in this world? And this is the goal of our lives, my young friends. The goal of our life is as quickly as possible, as soon as possible, realize that what is the objective of my life. Let the reality of the objective of my life come into my heart, come into my life, the objective of my life. Sooner or later, my dear brothers, every single human being will realize what is the objective of his life. Some people may be born, mashallah, born a hazrat, he's born as a pious person. From a young age, he realizes what is the purpose of his life. You have so many times a person says, you know what, I'm 40 years old and I feel I wasted my life. 40 years of absolutely wasting my life. Only now, after 40 years, I realized the objective of my life. And then you have another person who's on his deathbed and now he's crying. And he's saying, I wasted my entire 60 years, 70 of my life, 70 years of my life. No aim, no objective, no purpose in life. And na'udhu billah, my dear, but some people will realize the objective of their lives, but it will be too late. In the akhirat, the kuffar will say, رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا. They will say, Allah, now we realize, when it's too late, they have come before Allah, they have seen Jannah, they have seen Jahannam. Now they will say, Allah, now I realize, what was the purpose of my life? I understand now. Allah, give me another chance so that I can go back into the world and make amends for not realizing the objective and the purpose of my life. So my dear brothers, the idea for you young people and all of us is to as quick as possible realize what is the objective of my life. Allah has put me in this world. Everything around us, mashallah, our education important, our business important, our degree is important, family important, all of things are important. But these things are only meant to help us and assist us in fulfilling this objective of recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a young man, my dear brothers, when a young man can realize what his objective is in this world, why is he in this world, what is the purpose of Allah Ta'ala putting him in this big wide world, when he realizes this, then that young Muslim man, what he can accomplish, my dear brothers, is phenomenal. What he can do is remarkable. A young man. Yes, we have, mashallah, many of our old people sitting here. But an elderly person, the back is paining now, the feet are paining, the ankle is paining. He cannot do what a young man who realizes his purpose of life, what he can accomplish. A young person. You know, we always speak about, you know, Madina Munawwara, the blessed city of Madina Munawwara. Such a blessed place, which every Muslim yearns to live there. Every Muslim yearns to pass away there. Every Muslim yearns to visit there. But Madina Munawwara was not always the beautiful and the tranquil and the peaceful Madina Munawwara that we know today. One time it was called Yathrib. It was a place that was full of sickness and disease. Travelers were traveling north or traveling past there. They would say, we would rather take a longer route and bypass Madina Munawwara than taking the short route and going through Madina Munawwara out of the fear of becoming sick in Madina Munawwara. But then Madina Munawwara, with the arrival of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was transformed into that beautiful place, that wonderful place, that every person is longing to go there. Every Muslim is wishing to go there. One person was telling me that his daughter used to look at, you know, Paris and New York, and all these things amazed her. Then he took her for Umrah. And then he says, when she went to Makkah and she went to Medina, he says, Subhanallah, why do people even talk about, to the people of New York and the people of Paris and the people, other people know what is Makkah and what is Medina. Such a beautiful place. But my dear brothers, do you know that Medina Munawwara, that beautiful Medina Munawwara, this is a result of the efforts of young people of this ummah. Young people like you, my dear friends, who realize the purpose of their lives. And when they realize the purpose, objective of their lives, then Allah Ta'ala made them accomplish great things. All of you would have heard of a young man called Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. You know, the books say, Kana Mus'ab bin Umair Fata Makkah. Mus'ab bin Umair, as we say, was the main O in Makkah. He was the main guy in Makkah Mukarramah. There was no one like him. He had everything going his way. He had good looks. He was young. He was vibrant. He was energetic. He had good clothing, came from a wealthy family. He had the finest perfume that money could buy. He had everything going his way. And then the day came when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed this Mus'ab bin Umair with Islam. Despite having all of that, there still something was missing in his life. Because these things, my dear brothers, are not the objectives of our lives. Yes, they are there, they are important, we can have it, it's permissible to have all these things. But these are not the purpose of our life, not the objective of our life. So he had all of this, but in his heart he still felt something is missing. Something is empty in my heart. He was not happy with this kind of life. So when Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appeared in Makkah Mukarramah, and he made his advent, and he became the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then Mus'ab bin Umair realized that this is what I'm looking for. This is something which the perfume, which the wealth, which the clothing, which the good looks could void in my heart, that this could not fulfill the void in my heart. This is what I'm looking for. To cut a long story short, my dear, but this Mus'ab bin Umair goes to Madina Munawwara, and he becomes the first envoy, the first person sent by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to somewhere else to preach Islam. And he goes to Madina Munawwara, and as a result of the efforts of this young man, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and because of his efforts, Madina Munawwara, Islam spreads far and wide in Madina Munawwara. And many of the prominent individuals of Madina Munawwara become Muslim in Al-Madinatul Munawwara. And as a result, Nabi Sallam now migrates to Madina Munawwara, and he sets up the first Islamic city. Few years later, in the third year after the hijrat of Nabi Sallam, a very major battle takes place, the Battle of Uhud. Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this young man who one day was the pride of Makkah Mukarramah, the main guy Makkah Mukarramah, is now appointed as the flag bearer. And this is only given to a very special person. The flag bearer in the battles of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had to be a very special person. This young man who realized why he is in this world, he was given the flag. And in that very same battle of Uhud, Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu is martyred. And his body is mutilated. And now time comes to shroud him and bury him. At that time, the books mention, everyone's familiar with this here, he did not even have, the same Mus'ab bin Umair, who not long ago in Makkah Mukarrama had all the finest clothing at his disposal. Today he does not even have enough cloth to cover his body. When they try to cover his face, his feet become exposed. When they try to cover his feet, his head becomes exposed. Finally they cover his head and they put some grass over his feet in his grave. But my dear brothers, this very same Mus'ab bin Umair, had he passed away before he realized the objective of his life in Makkah Mukarramah, when he had everything in terms of dunya going his way, if he passed away at that time, wallahi today we would not even know that a person by the name Mus'ab bin Umair had ever lived in this world. We would never even known. We would not even taken his name. For today we're sitting in the house of Allah, all these beautiful youngsters here, and we are sitting and singing the praises of Mus'ab bin Umair radiallahu ta'ala anhu. A man who passed away with not even enough cloth to cover his body. Why? Why? What was it? It was a young man who realized his value, realized his worth, he realized his purpose of this in his life, and thereby he accomplished great things, who played a big part in transforming Medina Munawwara into the beautiful city of Medina Munawwara and the center of Islam, from which Islam spread to the four corners of the world. Likewise, my dear brothers, in Medina Munawwara, there was another young man, name of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And my point is, my dear brothers, when a young man understands what is his purpose, then he can accomplish great things, things which the elderly, which other people cannot accomplish. Mu'adh bin Jabal, there was a person named Amr bin Jamuh. He was a disbeliever and a prominent person. So then they wanted to make sure he becomes a Muslim. Because if he accepts Islam, a leader, then many other people accept Islam as well. Now the young people, you know what I mean, they got the pluck. They make things happen. So Mu'adh bin Jabal and his friends said, let's make a plan. Amr bin Jamuh, we will show him. We will bring him towards Islam. So Amr bin Jamuh was an idol worshipper. In his house he had a small idol, which he will worship every day. So at night when Amr bin Jamuh was sleeping, Mu'adh bin Jabal and his friends broke into his home. They took his idol, useless, worthless idol, and he took it and they dumped it. And they dumped it amongst filth, feces, and other dirt. They dumped it there. In the morning, it's quite amusing. Amr bin Jamuh wakes up and he says, where's my God? Where's my God? Can't find his God. He goes around looking for his God. He finds his God in that pit with all the filth and the dirt. So he picks up his God, wipes it down, cleans it, puts it back in his place. Second night, Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala and others, same thing. The same thing they do. Take his God, dump it in the feces. Again, Amr bin Jamuh wakes up in the morning. What's happening? My God, missing again. Let's go find him. They go and he puts him back on his place again. And this time he takes a sword. And he puts a sword around the neck of his God, of his idol. And he says, if you have any strength in you, any power in you, then I'm giving you the sword, whoever is doing this to you, then you take the sword and defend yourself against him. Of course, it's a big joke. It can never happen. So Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu ta'ala, they come next day, they see, they take the sword, throw it aside. They take his idol and they tie it up to a dead dog. And they throw it into a pit again. Amr bin Jamuh wakes up in the morning looking for his God. Again, he finds his God in that pitiable, that sad state. And then he realizes that, no, this cannot be right. This cannot be right. This idol worship is definitely something wrong with it, and there he becomes a Muslim. And such a Muslim, because of the effort of these young people, Mu'adh bin Jabal and his crew, and his people, and his gang, because of them, this person becomes a great Sahabi who's blessed with martyrdom also in the Battle of Uhud. So my dear brothers, my message to you today is, you young friends, the soldiers of tomorrow, all our elderly people sitting here, mashallah, Haji Abdullah Parak and all other people. From young, we know them, they're making efforts, mashallah. And Haji Imran Hashim is looking quite young, mashallah. But all these people from young, from a young age, they are making efforts. They are doing something, trying to make an effort. But now, all these efforts, their back is getting old, it's time to pain now. The feet are paining. They feel they cannot go on much longer. We need now new, fresh blood. We need new people who will come along and also say that I have realized the purpose of my life. I know now why Allah put me in this world. What is the world about? This world is not about working hard to have a house that has a pool or have a nice M4 comb that makes a loud noise when you start it up. That's not the purpose of life. There is something greater. There's something more important. And my dear brothers, every single young man, without any exception, every single one of you has it in him. Every single person in has a lion lurking in him. Every young Muslim with iman burning in his heart, he has a lion lurking in him. And a lion is waiting to be uncaged. The lion is waiting to be unleashed so that it can do great things, so that you can do great things. I've given this example before in some other program. You know, we have a lion in the Kruger Park. A lion, when it's out there in the jungle, in the wild, a lion will at any given moment have multiple lions, lionesses around it. A lion in the jungle, it runs freely in the jungle with the wind blowing through its mane. A lion in the jungle does not eat rotten, stinking meat, but rather it will hunt its prey. Fresh meat it will eat, fresh, just kill the prey and eat the fresh meat. A lion in the jungle, when it will roar, then every single animal in the jungle will come to a standstill. This is the king of the jungle. This is the king of the jungle. But that very same lion, my dear brothers, if it is caught and is put in a zoo, behind those bars, before living in the vast wilderness, in the vast forests, jungles, now it's confined to a 10x10 cage. And that very same lion that had multiple lionesses and other lions around it, today the lion is all alone in that cage. And that same lion was eating fresh meat in the jungle, today the lion has to eat some horse or some cow dies in some farm, and the farm owner sells that dead horse, that dead cow to the animal, to the lion park, and the lion park now will chop off a stinking, full of flies, stinking piece of meat and throw it to the lion. In the lion in the jungle, when you roar, the entire jungle will come to a standstill. Now the lion will roar in that cage, and that young girl, 6 years old, she'll begin to laugh and clap her hands. So much fun, so nice. Lion, please roar again. I want to hear it again. Why? Why? What's the difference? It's because the lion has those bars in front of it. That is preventing it from living the life it's supposed to be living. That's preventing it from fulfilling and accomplishing the life that Allah Ta'ala had made it for. Likewise, my dear brothers, every single one of you are lions. You all are lions. But we also have a few bars in front of us. A few bars. That lion in the lion park has those metal bars in front of it. We have some other bars in front of it that is stopping us from fulfilling our objective of life, our purpose of life, and stopping us from fulfilling great things. It's not those metal bars, but what is one bar, my dear brothers, of being consumed by social media? One bar of drugs, one bar of zina, one bar of being in love with good looks and being in love with good clothing and being in love with good things. These things are preventing us from fulfilling the purpose of our life and fulfilling the objective of our life. So my dear brothers, the purpose for us to live in this world is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah ta'ala has put us in this world. We are here, mashallah, no one says it's haram to have a business, have a job, have a degree, go to school, become the best. Our ulama say that you'll become a doctor, don't become any ordinary doctor, become the best doctor. You become a businessman, don't become any substandard businessman. Become the most honest and the best businessman. Do all of that. But realize that our objective of the life, of our life, is to realize Allah Ta'ala has created us to worship Allah Ta'ala, to recognize the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recognize the qudr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person wants to do this, he wants to realize the objective of his life. If a person wants something, then he has to go to the right place to find it. A person wants to see the big five animals, the big five, the lion and the elephant and the rhinoceros. He won't drive to Durban's harbour and go there on a boat and look for the big five. He has to go to the right place. He has to go to the Kruger Park and you see it there. And likewise, a person who wants to catch sardines or he wants to catch shad or whatever else, he won't jump in his Hilux and drive to the Kruger Park. He'll go to the harbour. You find what you're looking for in the right place and in the right environment as well. You wake up in the morning, it's getting hot now again. A person says, no, I come back from school. I want to have a nice cold juice or cold drink or milkshake to have. So what, before I go to school, what I'm going to do? So I have a nice cool cup of juice. I'm going to go put the oven on 180 and put my juice in there. So I can have a nice, no, you need to put it in the right environment. If you want to accomplish something, you have to go into the right environment. Allah Ta'ala has given us, forget to realize the objectives of our life. Allah Ta'ala has given us a system. Allah Ta'ala has given us a way of life, something that will help us to realize the objective of our lives. Some people may find the objective of their life when they go to the madrasa or the Darul Ulum. Some people may find it in the field of jihad. Many people have found the objective of their life in this effort Allah Ta'ala has given us, the effort of what we call da'wat and tabligh. Where a person comes to the right place and the right environment. When a person spends here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what better place to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What better place? When a person goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he spends many hours at a time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He goes out and he speaks about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he has gone to the right place. He has gone into the right environment to try to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by doing so, my dear brother, what will happen? Two things will happen. When we take part in this effort of da'wat and tabligh, two things will happen. One thing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us to realize the objective of our lives. And there was a brother, a very elderly person, Allah knows where he's living now, from Makkah Mukarramah. His name is Sheikh Abdullah Al-Lahiyani. So when he came to our madrasa, he told us that how this effort of da'wat and tabligh makes people realize their worth and their purpose. He says he used to work for the Saudi Arabian Airlines company. So he says as a young Saudi Arabian Airline cadet, he was sent to Germany to go and study there, to go and train in Germany. So he says this was maybe perhaps in the 60s or maybe even earlier. So he said when they arrived there, he said we came there. At that time there's absolutely no sign of deen there. He says that when we came there, London Airport, the German airline company had young girls in swimsuits with placards to tell us, welcome Saudi Arabian Airline cadets, to welcome them at the airport. So he said he did his training, alhamdulillah, and he went back to Saudi Arabia. He worked his entire life and now he retired. He says in that time, the effort of da'wat and tabligh came into Germany. He says, I went back many decades later and says, subhanallah, the same airport which I arrived there 30, 40, 50 years earlier, where there were young German girls to welcome us, now what I see there? He says, I see German young men, fair skin, gold beards, blue eyes, turban, kurta. Why? Because the effort of da'wat and tabligh had brought such a change in that place that now from where to where it went. And he says, when I went earlier in my life, when I went there, barely a masjid, barely a place to read salah in Germany. He says, now there were hundreds of places in Germany to read salah. So going out in the path of Allah, my dear brothers, what one thing will happen? Allah will help us to realize what is the purpose of life? Why are we in this world? Why has Allah put us in this world? And the second thing, my dear brothers, remember, greatness is not only what you can do for yourself. Greatness is what you can do for yourself and what you can do for others. Through the effort of da'wat and tabligh, you will help. You will realize the purpose of your life and you will help others to recognize the purpose of their lives. In 2023, we were doing Gush in Morningside, our area. So it was around November time or so. So we were doing Gush. So we were at a person's house trying to get into the home or get the homeowner to come out. And whilst we were there, whilst we were knocking on the gate, we saw a young man walking down the street. Really down and out. In fact, he was collecting these cans to try to make some living, make some money. Walking down the road. So we went, just happened to see him, we went to speak to him. Turns out he's a Muslim. Living a very, very difficult life. In fact, the house had been destroyed by the floods in some part of Phoenix. And now the government had moved them to a certain building there in the Morningside area. Really down and out. A lost soul. Completely lost soul. So we spoke to him and everything. He said, you know what? We're going to pass by your house just now. Get your kurta, get your topi. On the way to the masjid, to the Jamaat, we'll pick you up. So mashallah, he went home. He picked up his kurta. He got his topi. And we picked him up in the car. We spoke to him. He said, he has nothing to do. So some brothers offered him a job to do some gardening for the rest of it. Anyway, he came to our Jamaat Khana. That day, he sat in the talk. Totally lost person. He sat in the talk. He had some weaknesses in him too. So he sat in the talk at that time. And then after that day, we met him once or twice after that day. Then next month, in December 2023, we get a message on Saturday morning, this youngster has passed away. He's passed away, he had a wheezing attack and he passed away in the bathroom. So we, the brothers of the area, we rushed to the home, went there. So the family told us, they told us that, you know that in November, when you met this person, my son, he says this was the first time in years that he saw the inside of a masjid. No jamaat, no juma. First time in years that he saw the inside of a masjid. And today is Saturday. Yesterday, Friday, he came to this, your Jamaat Khana for Jummah Salah. First time in years, perhaps maybe first time in the life, they said, he read Jummah in the masjid. He came for Jummah Salah. He read that Friday, he read Jummah for the first time in his life or after a long time. And he passed away that day on Saturday morning, he passed away. So this effort of da'wat and tabligh, my dear brothers, what will do? Make us realize what is the purpose of our lives and what, and help other people to realize the purpose of their lives. This is, if we want, my dear brothers, if we are serious about life, serious about life is not only having a nice house or having a nice car or having nice clothing. Those things are in his place. The purpose of life is to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my young friends, I request to you, inshallah, which youngster amongst you, mashallah, the holidays are here. We have plenty of time, alhamdulillah. Long holiday we have ahead of us. Mashallah, you'll have your holiday, you'll have your fun, you perhaps go out with your family, go on holiday, inshallah. But let's see, just for my sake, not for anyone else's sake, for my sake, which youngster, inshallah, says that I am prepared to spend some time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does my dear brothers, we'll spend. Entire holiday will come, we'll wake up every morning at 11 o'clock. Then we'll just sit on the cell phone for 1 or 2 hours. Then we'll sit on the PlayStation, on the Xbox. Then we'll go around here, there. Come the end of the holidays and we'll think, you know what? Nothing really fruitful, nothing really good we did for the entire holiday. But a person goes out for a few days in the holidays, 10 days, 20 days in the holidays. At least at the end of the holiday, he will say, you know what, something fruitful, something purposeful, some purpose I had, something good came out of his holidays. So inshallah, my young, beautiful friends of Palak, inshallah, who of you, inshallah, is ready to inshallah, give their names, inshallah, mashallah, to God in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We need to take out those bars that are stopping us. Let us unleash the lion, inshallah. Allah has accepted us, alhamdulillah, we are here. Allah brought us here. Allah brought us here to the masjid, to his house, for a reason. Allah sees value in us. So let us now step forward, inshallah. Say we are ready. Allah, we are ready. We want to unleash that inner spiritual strength you gave us. It's there inside, inshallah. As Mawlana said, it's inside us. We have to release it, inshallah. For that we have to come out in the path of Allah. Now we have to come out. We have to realize who we are, inshallah. Come, my brothers. Make intention, inshallah. Come. Bismillah. Stand up, inshallah. MashaAllah, Abdullah Patel. Allah accept, Allah accept. Sometime, inshallah, sometime. 40 days, inshallah, we'll start with that tashkil, inshallah. Whatever time we are ready for, in this holiday year, we say, I'm ready for 40 days, or I'm ready for 20 days, or I'm ready for 10 days. Inshallah. Who else makes intention? Long holiday we got now. MashaAllah, a lot of us are in school. We got a nice long holiday. I know also, you know, part of the school system there. So schools will close on the 12th of December. 12th December. But before that, inshallah, jamaats can start, brothers can start coming out. Because that last week, a lot of people don't go. Bismillah, stand up, brothers. Make intention, inshallah. One come, only one youngster for the courage. Come, all of us, come. More people can have courage. Stand up, inshallah. Come. Bismillah. Come. Stand up. Make intention. Come. Holiday is how many? 6 weeks holiday. From there, let's say, okay, we'll give 10 days, inshallah. We'll give 10 days in the path of Allah. For the effort of our heart. Effort of our heart. Come, inshallah. Who's ready? Make intention. 10 days. Stand up, brothers, inshallah. Make some intention. Come, brothers, mashallah, come.
Come, dear brothers, inshallah. This is only intention, inshallah. It's only intention. Nothing hard and fast, inshallah. But Allah Ta'ala looks, Allah looks at our intention, inshallah. Niyat is just to tell Allah.
Your surname? Mullah. Mashallah. Allah accept. We put ourselves forward, Allah will take us forward in life. Allah will take us forward. Come, brothers, stand up. Put ourselves forward to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where our life came from, where our health came from, Allah, give inshallah. Let us give inshallah for Allah. Come, brothers. Make intention, brothers. Come. Some time of our holidays, we've got such a long holiday. Come, surely we can take out some time. Come. Bismillah, stand up, brothers. Make intention. MashaAllah. Musa Patel. Allah accept. Allah accept. Abdul Rahman Razak. That's it, brothers. That's what we want to see. Come. We want to see our youngsters standing up. Come. Stand up for the deen of Allah. Stand up, inshallah. Come. Make intention. Who else, inshallah? Hamza. Ahmed. MashaAllah. Muaz.
MashaAllah.
Yusuf. Mashallah. Yusuf Sani? Akub. Kashif Linda. Hassan. Hassan. Abdullah Baraj. Amir. Allah make you Amir al-Mu'minin, inshallah. Make you like Amir al-Mu'minin, inshallah. Allah accept. Who else, inshallah? Come. Stand up, brothers. Come, brothers. Come, you can still stand up. It's still time. Come. Make intention. Those brothers want to make intention, other intention also, if you can say, okay, 10 days is there, I'm ready at least for 3 days. At least for 3 days. I'll give 3 days, inshallah, with our masjid from Palop. I'll come out with the brothers for 3 days. Spend time in the masjid, 3 days of that environment, as Mulana mentioned. Put ourselves in that environment of the masjid. See what effect takes place in our heart. See what happens in our heart. We have to experience it. I can tell you already the biryani is very tasty, or the smash burger is very tasty. But if you haven't tasted it, I can explain it to you how, I can tell you everything about it. But if you didn't taste it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. You won't understand. You have to go and taste it, then you take a bite, you taste it, then you'll know what I'm talking about. So we have to go out, inshallah. Let us go out and feel it. Then we will see what it is, inshallah. We'll feel it, experience it. So come, inshallah. Who makes intention? 3 days. At least 3 days we give. Those who didn't make intention yet, at least we can say, okay, 3 days we're ready. Some of our other youngsters from our school, make intention, 3 days, inshallah. Come. See, who else? Anyone else, inshallah? Okay. Whoever made intention, alhamdulillah, quite a few of us made intention. So, inshallah, let us all stand up. We go to one side. Inshallah, one of the brothers will just give us some short talk, just to encourage us and to explain to us how we should, what we should do, inshallah, so that we can, you know, when the time comes, that we get ready, inshallah. So those who made intention, stand up, inshallah, stand up. All those who made intention, stand up, you know. Who's going? Okay, sure. Mashallah. Allah accept. Mashallah. Come. All go to one side. Now, mashallah. Okay, sit down there together. And also, brothers, all the brothers, there's an announcement for everyone. Next week, Saturday, after Maghrib, is a very important program at Masjid Bilal in Uport. It's an annual youth program. It's a big program. And all are invited next week, Saturday, after Maghrib in Masjid Bilal. We should all try and be there. Contact some of our brothers here. If we need transport, you can contact us. Inshallah, we'll make dua, a short dua. I'll give some more. Ji, still something.
It won't be advice, it'll just be some stories, inshallah, about the effort, inshallah, how important it is, and how Allah Ta'ala uses it. You know, I was talking about a youngster also, who in our area, he didn't come to the masjid. So some years ago also, when Jamaat came from Makkah Mukarramah, so one brother in the Jamaat was telling us that in Makkah Mukarramah, this is what I was talking about, when a person doesn't realize why Allah put him in this world, that he can be living in Makkah Mukarramah, where the Kaaba is, but still he'll have no direction in life. He'll do all the wrong things. So he says, there in Makkah Mukarramah, I lived in Makkah Mukarramah, he says. And he's saying that we never used to read Salah in the Haram, but we should read outside the Haram in a masjid. There was a masjid nearby, we should read Salah there. So he says, in our suburb, in our area, there was a young man, his name was Umar. And he said, "Wa ma adraka ma Umar." That's what he said. How can I really explain to you who this Umar youngster was? So he says he was a person, young person. We say he was a mountain of a man, huge guy, huge guy. And him and his friends used to sit opposite the masjid the entire day. And according to what his brother said, he used to drink. In Makkah Mukarramah, he used to drink and other things. And no one had the guts to even tell them anything because Umar was a very violent person. Anyone tramped his toes, that brute strength he had, he was not scared to use it. But now, of course, we can't leave them like this here. We can't leave a Muslim to live a life like this here. We have to make some effort. So he said the brothers spoke to each other, that how can we make some effort, inshallah, to bring Umar onto, you know, help him out a bit, make him realize that there's more important things in life. This is not what we've been created for. So the brother said that, he says that I was the one who said not, I'll take the effort. But he said I was scared of him. So he said, he told us that he was the brave coward. What he would do, he would drive past where Umar is sitting, open his window a little bit, and he would tell him, Salaamu Alaikum. Umar would say, we'll not look at you. Just look at him, fierce look, and no reply, nothing, and this person will carry on the wrong game. Few days again, do like this here, and one day he said, I made salam to him again, and I noticed that, no, his eyes look a bit different today. He's not looking as fierce and as intimidating as before. So he said that one day I had a motor car crash. My car was in a workshop, and one day I was walking on the street there. I was deep in thought, and you get that part, and this thing for my car. And he says, before I knew it, I come face to face with Umar. And Umar looks at me, and I make salam to him, and this time he replies to my salam. And he says, this time I plucked up the courage. I plucked up the courage to talk to him. So he says that I told Umar, what's wrong, Umar? Allah Pak is calling you every day. Allah Pak is calling you every day, but you're not responding to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Umar says, what are you talking about? Not one day I got an invitation card, SMS, WhatsApp from Allah telling me not you invited. So he says, no, they're not talking about. Every day the Muazzin is saying, Hayya ala salah, Hayya ala falah. That is a call to you and every person to come to the masjid. So Umar that time said, yes, truly it is like that. And some people, you know what we're talking about is, maybe they don't even realize what their objective in life is. They haven't realized this yet. Alhamdulillah, we spoke about it today. Some people haven't realized what the objective of the life is. So he says, really, there is something like that. So then he says, for the first time, Umar came to the masjid. And he says, MashaAllah, Umar thereafter, short while thereafter, he changed his life around completely. Completely changed his life around. He says, one particular Thursday night, he told his mother, that mommy, tomorrow morning, please take out my nice kurta. I wake up early for Fajr. Nice kurta, and have a bath, put my kurta on, put my itar and go to the masjid. So he says, he did that, Umar, he went that Friday morning in Makkah Mukarramah, he went to the masjid. And he says, in that Fajr Salah, in Sajda, Umar passed away. And he said the words that brother used, Amila qalilan wa hasala kathiran. Very little effort he made in his life, very little in his life, only for a few days he was performing Salah. Only for a few days he was coming to the masjid. But when he realized the purpose of his life, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a very great thing. Allah ta'ala gave him an enviable debt. What do you say? A debt to die for. Allah ta'ala gave him a debt to die for. He passed away in the masjid in sajda. So my dear brother, this is what we are trying to get the message, trying to get across, inshallah, that we have a lot of potential in us, a lot of abilities in us. We have to now try to know channel it. And really, I'm speaking of young people. The young people, you know, the ummah is waiting for you. Today we did in Arabic grammar. One sentence came there, Antum Rijalul Ghad. You are the men of tomorrow. I thought about it before speaking to you. I said, what a sentence. Really, my dear brothers, these elderly people that for so many years made effort to build masajid, to call people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day is going to come, they're not going to be here. There has to be a succession plan. There has to be someone to take over. Sometimes we see so many people, so many times it happens. The father worked hard, he built up the business, he sweated, he toiled, he worked hard, and he made a good, flourishing business. And thereafter, he gets a son who is wayward, perhaps on drugs, Allah Ta'ala save every young person, perhaps on drugs. And in a short while, the person didn't realize the effort behind this business, how much went into this business, how much time, effort, sweat, tears sometimes, blood sometimes, went into building up this business. He didn't realize it. And then what happens? In a short while, he wastes that business. Likewise, this deen we have, mashallah, we are very fortunate. I'm not saying we're the best Muslims in the world, but Allah has given us so much. We go to other parts of the world, our brothers tell us, you come back, nothing like this. Masajid, the chance to learn Quran, Hufaz in abundance, Taraweeh in abundance. Before they tell us, you know, in South Africa, we had to look for Hufaz to read at the different venues. This masjid doesn't have a Hafiz. Import one from Cape Town, bring him to read Salah. Today, alhamdulillah, we have so many Hufaz here, that today we are looking for venues for the Hufaz. Not before you look for Hufaz for the venues, now we're looking for venues for Hufaz. So many Hufaz call, Mawlana, I need a place to read, can you find me a place to read? So many Hufaz, alhamdulillah. But all this didn't come just like that. It came with a lot of effort. So my young friends, realize Allah has put you here not for anything but for a purpose. You are the succession plan. You are the men of tomorrow. You are the ummah of tomorrow. So we need some, you know, we need a group of youngsters who are serious about life. And alhamdulillah, my dear, but do not be ever be under the impression that if I have to become a righteous person, I become a good person, that Allah Ta'ala will deprive you anything. Never ever. Allah will never deprive you. Allah will give you everything, but with that you'll have some focus in life, some objective in life. And what you will have, the greatest thing you will have, is a good feeling in your heart. You know, today every person, the rich man, the poor man, the old man, the young man, is looking for content. Mulan, tell me to stop, Mulan. Tell me to stop, okay? Okay, Alhamdulillah, inshallah. So, you know, everyone is looking for contentment in the heart. That's every person looking for. But sometimes we mistake, we make a very big mistake, we make a very big mistake. One is fun, entertainment, having enjoyment, and one is contentment of the heart. These are two very different things. Enjoyment, fun, entertainment can be found in many places. I mean, today it's a Saturday night, there will be people in clubs at other places. They're having a fine time, they're having a good time, they're enjoying themselves. They're having fun. But the same person, tomorrow morning, when he wakes up with a headache, with a hangover, now he's feeling empty. He's trying to ask himself, what is the purpose of life? Why am I in this world? The happiness only comes from one place. The soul, I told you, going to the right place to find something, happiness, contentment only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person coming onto deen, Allah will never deprive him. Whatever is meant to come to you, my dear brothers, by coming onto deen, Allah will not deprive you. A person in this world will only eat what Allah has destined for him. One brother is telling me, his father passed away in the, his father passed away in the kitchen. They found him lying dead in the kitchen. Allah, forgive him, Allah, for his qabr wa nur. He says, we noticed that my father had poured a cup of juice. So that means the father worked. He earned the money. He went to the supermarket, he purchased the juice. He brought the juice, he put it into his fridge. He opened the fridge, he opened the juice, he poured the cup. Everything was there, but that cup of juice was not written for him. Before he could drink that cup of juice, Allah Ta'ala took him away. So what is meant to come to you? Do not think, hey, we're going to become pious, and don't get a false impression of what piety is. Piety is not that, you know, we think now we must abandon, leave our homes, leave our jobs, run into the mountains, take a big 1,000 beat tasbih and run through. That's not deen. That's not Allah. Allah doesn't want us. That's not deen. Allah will give us everything. Deen is what? I said it many times. A place for everything and everything in his place. A time for everything, everything in his time. That means a person, when it's time to sleep, 10 o'clock at night, it's time to sleep. Now I'm not sitting on the cell phone. I put the cell phone away. And 4 o'clock in the morning, it's time to wake up for Fajr, I wake up for Fajr. Time to go to school, I go to school. Time to study, I study very hard. Time to play football, I play football. Time to pray, I pray. All of this is what deen is. Have some objective in it, have some fulfillment in it, have a wholesome life. This is what deen is. So my young brothers, inshallah, this is the message to you, inshallah. I have a short message. Allah, forgive me if I said anything wrong, if I hurt you. Please forgive me, inshallah. And I hope, inshallah, maybe something went into the heart, inshallah, which, inshallah, some point in life may perhaps come back into our hearts, come back in our minds, and help us along, inshallah. Give us tawfiq, inshallah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم O most merciful, most compassionate, most kind Allah Ya Allah, please forgive us for all our sins, Ya Allah Allah, all the young brothers of Palok, Ya Allah, and other areas that came here tonight, Ya Allah, to sit in your house, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, many of them could have been free tonight, Ya Allah. Many of them could have been out there with their friends, Ya Allah. But they chose to come to your house, Ya Allah, to listen about the Quran Sharif, listen about the blessed life of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to learn about the blessed companions of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, every one of these youngsters, Ya Allah, likewise every other youngster in this area, and every Muslim youngster out there, Ya Allah, bless each youngster, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give them the best of this world and the year after, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Allah, do not deprive them of a single thing, Ya Allah. Protect them, look after them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give them deen, Ya Allah. Make them soldiers of Islam, Ya Allah. Make them like Mus'ab bin Umair and Mu'adh bin Jabal and Ali, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and all the other Sahaba, Ya Allah. Make them soldiers of Islam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make them those, Ya Allah, that will spread deen in the four corners of the world, Ya Allah. Make them amongst the mujahideen that will bring Aqsa back to the hands of the Muslims, Ya Allah. Accept every single one of us, Ya Allah. Forgive our sins, Ya Allah. Pardon our sins, Ya Allah. Give us maut upon iman. Give us jannah without reckoning, Ya Allah. And save us from the azab of the qabr. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam. Tabarakta ya dhul jalali wal ikram. Sami'na wa ta'na ghufranik rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.
Brothers, inshallah, we can wash our hands downstairs and then we can make our way upstairs, inshallah, for meals. Meals will be served upstairs. Gee, meals are prepared for everyone. Nobody must leave, inshallah. The Khidmat brothers were making the burgers, smashing the burgers, so inshallah, let us go upstairs, inshallah, and take part in the meals. Now, our time to smash. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanallah, bihamdihi,